Well, good morning. I think the first thing I would like to do is let's pray for just a second. As we think about the state of our city, we think about the come apart in our society. And so let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning we do have a heavy heart. We have a heavy heart for our city. Father, the senseless violence and crime that so many of our citizens endured that was brought to the forefront by this Eliza Fletcher kidnapping. Father, I can't imagine the unbelievable pain her children, her husband, her parents and grandparents are feeling. Lord, we do just lay them at the cross this morning. Father, we lay our whole city at the cross. There are many who have been suffering violence that don't make the news. And Father, our city is having to come apart because we have turned our back on you, basically. So, Jesus, we don't know what to do with all this pain, but lay it at your feet, knowing that you are a good God, knowing that you're in control of all things. So, Father, use this pain to draw people unto yourself, that your Son, Jesus, may be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to get started this morning. I want to welcome everybody to Awaken Me. If you're joining us on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. via KWAM, you can also catch us at Jesus Helps, that's HELPS.me, and get the sermon that we're going to hear in just a minute from our brother that's been serving in the underground church there in Saudi Arabia for many, many years. So whether you catch the sermon in person, I'm glad to see your smiling faces at 6 a.m., or whether you're going to join us on Sundays at 10 a.m., or right there in your living room, if you're looking for something other than TV to watch, it'd be great to just go to JesusHelps.me and tune in with us there. I also don't want to forget our friends on Facebook that you can join us. Sometimes Facebook's a little spotty here from the Taj Garage, but you can join us live on Facebook Live. Just ask to join our group, Awaken Me, and we'll be glad to let you in. We're going to start this morning, Vietnam vet Ray Bratcher, like we do every morning, with the Pledge of Allegiance. Ray?
Join me, brothers and sisters.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you,
Jesus. Well, there's a whole lot going on around Awaken Me. One of the neat things was this past Sunday at Shelby Farms. Just to give you an idea, I didn't write down the official list. We don't have an official list. We're all volunteers from many different churches, but this past Sunday at Shelby Farms, I just was jotting down a few names. Leewood East, Woodland Presbyterian, Crossroad Baptist, Bellevue Baptist, the House Church Movement, Eagle Heights, Faith Baptist, Church of the Park, Bartlett Church, and Harvest. And just to give you a little flavor, we're not out there promoting our churches. We're out there promoting King Jesus and the fact that people can have a saving relationship with him. You say, well, I don't feel really good about going out. I don't know how to do this kind of going out. Well, that's awesome. You know how to pray. So please come and pray with us. Please come and join in with us. After a time or two, you'll see that it's really not scary. We haven't lost anybody yet. Everybody that's gone out has come back in. And you can go with somebody who is comfortable and pray for them as they get an opportunity. And I just was amazed. My wife and I went out at 3 o'clock instead of 5, and I was amazed at the openness and opportunities to engage with people who really, really, really wanted to ask about the living God. So we didn't have any terrible altercations. We just had people that were really, really interested. So bring some water. That's our fish and bait. It's hot out there, and people like to stop and get a free water that puts a smile on their face, and it just really starts the conversation well. Kudos to my wife. She said, can I ask you a question? We're celebrating Labor Day. What do you get up every morning and labor towards? People would go, wow, that's a pretty cool question. The second question, here's a good one this week. You can try this. How wide do you think the pearly gates of heaven are? Are they 10 feet wide, 10 inches wide, 2 miles wide? Just ask people winsome, engaging conversations. Are you far from God or are you close to God? That's how you get jumped off into a spiritual conversation. So if you want to come and kind of practice some of that, Sunday at 5 o'clock at Shelby Farms. We also have a prayer ministry that's been going. I'm going to ask Steve Allison to come up here in just a second and kick us off in prayer, because they've had one that's been going about 10 years. Ours has been going 124 weeks on Monday nights. We had six international countries. Well, if you count United States, we had six countries on our prayer call last night. Our brother from India was reporting in. He just came back from a 30-day journey. One of his key people was bound and gagged and beaten, and he was just out of the hospital. And it was amazing listening to this brother with a smile on his face say, I tell my followers, when persecution comes, the book of Acts comes. And it's just like being in the book of Acts. Our God is alive and well, and he is still in the business of doing miracles. He also sent me pictures of 217 baptisms that have occurred in the last week there in India. So our brothers and sisters in India are marching forward. They have a plan. They expect to reach all of India by 2025, one of the largest populations on earth. They're at the forefront of engaging unreached, unengaged people groups. The good news, bad news is on this last 30-day trip, they found 100 more. So they are tracking and looking for villages and areas of the Indian population that are so remote that they speak actually a different dialect and a different group of people. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, he's not coming back, is he, until every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. This next month coming up, finishing the task, that's a group of Americans who are also tracking unengaged, unreached people groups all over the world and funding them. They don't fund any ministry but engaging lost people groups. And they are also tracking on a spreadsheet every pocket that they know of where the name of Jesus has never been spoken. We need to be praying for these brothers and sisters, because if you've really thought about this, the reason that name has not been spoken, it's usually in a highly persecuted country where many times they dig their graves before they go. So these are very tough areas to reach. They're usually in very remote areas that most of us as Americans would not feel comfortable going into the harsh environment. So please be in prayer for the unengaged, unreached people groups of the world. We also want to be praying for Jeff Patrick, Memphis Union Mission. He's not here this morning. He's in Israel. Hey, Jeff, you watching from Israel? We're praying for you. Hey, everybody is praying for you. Yeah, make sure you understand what day it is, and he'll get that. But anyway, we missed you. We were on the night before. We were on last night. But Jeff joins us on our prayer call and is a big key part of reaching people that need to hear the gospel through Memphis Union Mission. Our brother Steve Copeland just came back from being gone overseas for a month. So pray for him as he readjusts and reacclimates. I think that's all the people that have left the country. But many of you, forgot Kim. And Tim, Doctors Tim and Kim Potter, are in Ho Chi Minh. It's a small city, if you don't know, just outside of Saigon with 9 million people in it. They're over there. Pray for their vision. Pray for their effectiveness as they seek to engage friends and family members. They haven't been back in 4 years because the country kind of closed down. But they are praying for their friends, so let's make sure you're praying for the Potters, too. So that kind of gives you a little update of what's going on around Awaken Me, and you're a big part of that, particularly if you're here on Tuesday morning. So with that being said, enough announcements and enough updates, probably too much. And Steve Allison, would you come and put our thoughts back towards the kingdom and the Lord and just pray for us? And then after Steve, come on up, come on up. And then after that, Ken Napper, Overcoming Abuse God Way, is going to introduce our speaker.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Henry. Let's just pray. God, we just thank you for the tremendous and exciting reports of how you're working around the world. It just reminds us that because Jesus paid it all, there's opportunity now for the name of Jesus to be lifted up, for your word to be brought forth. And so we pray for every ministry, every name, every family that was mentioned today, locally and beyond, God, around the globe. We just ask that you bless them, cover them, or provide, strengthen, and just give them wisdom and anointing to do your work. God, we thank you now for what we'll hear today from Brother Wilson. We ask that you speak through him, God. Give him anointed word to say exactly what your spirit leads him to say. And pray, God, that you give us listening ears and open hearts to receive and act on what we hear and not just be spectators today. But you're going to have a powerful move even this morning as we hear his word. We thank you now. We give you praise. God, on this day, we love you. And for this day, we thank you. And with this day, we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. I consider it an honor and a privilege to introduce Wilson Satya. I met Wilson on a Wednesday night. He came to our church and told him about Awaken, and the next thing you know, he was coming here. I found Wilson and Eunice and Juanita and Aliana to be very precious, dear to us. And to me, and I consider him a brother, family. And we've had a lot of laughs, a lot of good fellowship, a lot of prayer, a lot of worship together. And I just like to pray for him. He's a pastor. He's still a pastor, even though he's not pastoring a church right now. He's on our board for Overcoming Abuse God's Way, and he's a dear friend. Amen. Come, brother, let me pray for you. Father, I just lift up my brother Wilson before your throne this morning. God, you have touched his heart with a word for us, Father God. And I just thank you, Lord God, that, Lord God, that you are covering him even right now, God. Lord, that your anointing, God, is upon him, Father God. We just pray, God, for, oh, God, that we would just receive what you have for him to say this morning, God, Lord, that you would just open our ears and our eyes and our minds, Father God, that we can plant this word deep in our heart, Father God. Oh, Lord, I just pray that he would have the freedom in the spirit, God, to speak those things, God, Lord, that you've put into his heart, Father God. We love you. We praise you. I thank you for my brother, and I just give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Kenneth. You know, it's so wonderful to hear what God is doing in our life and in the city of Memphis and all around the world. And start off today's worship with that foundational song, What a Friend in Heaven, Jesus. Thank you, brother. It reminded me the days that I spent with my mother, my father, where they taught me how to pray and trust the Lord. They taught me to sing the same hymns and express my feelings. I get emotional when I'm talking about my parents. It's just that the seed they put in us has grown and given us an opportunity to be bold, be effective where we are put. You know, and I thank God for them. Though they stay away from me, miles away, I'm still with them, and I'm with them in the fellowship with the Lord. So, for our text this morning, I'm going to take from Matthew chapter 16. It's a very familiar text for all of us, and I would like to read from NKJ version, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind in on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day, O Father Lord. As we meditate on this word, O Father Lord, I pray and I thank you, God, for this wonderful opportunity that you have given us to be indulged in your word, be submerged in your word, O Father Lord, as we listen to the Spirit speaking, O Father Lord, I submit myself into your hands. You lead us, you lead me and guide me, O Father Lord. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our thoughts, and lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, I'm just taking up from last week when we heard Bishop Michael speaking, and it was very emotional for him, and my wife Eunice was helping him to put together all his experience in that dark room that he had a couple of years ago, and we have seen a couple of times he's getting emotional on a personal level, but I never seen him getting emotional on a, you know, wider audience. And I saw that it was not a pain. It was an expression of the love of God, an expression of his attitude in him, which helped him to overcome the greatest obstacles of bringing the kingdom of heaven onto this earth. So, I just want to spend some time on this truth that we read this morning, and perhaps it's a reminder for all of us the things that are important for a Christian life. So, this is a setup in the Bible where, you know, these disciples had spent a lot of time with Jesus Christ and having moved with him from place to place, traveling, and as they saw, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, talking about the kingdom of God and also doing miracles, healing the sick, and liberating people from the bondage. When all this is happening, at one point, Jesus comes down, and he turns to his disciple. "Who do the people say that I am?" So, specifically, he says, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And disciples came back and they said, "Hey, look, there's a lot of news going around about you. There's some people say you're the John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you are Jeremiah or some other prophet. But this is all untrue. He's the Son of the living God." But again, having this relationship with his disciples, he turns around and asks them, "Who do you think the Son of Man I am?" So when Jesus is telling that I am the Son of Man, he is going back and reminding, you know, he's trying to tell to the disciples that he's quoting from Daniel chapter 7. When the Daniel see the vision and he records it, and he says, "Someone as a Son of Man comes from with the cloud of glory, and he's been placed in the court. And when the book is open, the Ancient of days gives him all dominion, power, and glory and kingdom. And he gave and all the nations, languages, and people have to bow before him. His dominion was everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and the kingdom shall not be destroyed. And the authority was given to him and his saints. So Jesus was making this significant statement about himself. And we see that while he was ministering, he continuously referred himself as the Son of Man. So disciples kind of knew that he is the Son of Man, but he made this question to them to understand what is that means to him or all the 12, all the disciples there, what is that it means for them. So this is a question for all of us. Right, so we are born in a Christian families. We have been raised with a Christian parents who are dedicated their life to bring their children up in the fear and the knowledge of Christ. And we have spent our most of our time in the church, hearing the gospel, and we are in the fellowship of people around us. All is okay. What is that, Jesus, for you? How do you understand Jesus from your bottom of your heart? That's where I was telling in the beginning, what a friend we have in Jesus. Is that that him is bringing us a relationship with Christ? Going back to Matthew, Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of living God." You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter declares that Jesus is not the one who has come to say that Messiah is going to come, but he's saying that you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. There's a huge difference, isn't it? There's a huge difference. So in verse 16, Jesus says to Peter, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Our identity in Christ and with God is revealed. It's not something which is flown from generations. It is not coming from the race. It is not coming from our experiences. It is not cultural. It's not even biological. What my father or mother has been doing or understanding and living is not what we have received. It is God. Amen. It is God who's going to reveal to us. It is not known ahead of time. What Jesus is saying here is, my Father has illuminated your inner person to understand what is hidden in the scriptures. It is not obvious to just read Bible and get a revelation. God reveals when he's speaking to us through the word. When Jesus is asking this question, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? He knows our situation. He knows what flesh and blood can bring to us. And he knows the flesh and blood cannot reveal to us. Even though he knows himself, he is a Son of Man. He is a Son of the living God. But who is this Son of the living God? He is the eternal Word. He is the image of the invisible and infinite God. He is an eternal God who humbled himself to walk as a man in obedience to the Father so that we could learn what it means to live as sons and daughters of God. He walked in absolute union with Father, one with the Father, so that when we see him, we see the Father. He spoke the Father's word. He did the Father's work. He fulfilled the Father's will. He is the Son of the living God. Who is the Son of the living God? He is the one who came to destroy all the works of the devil. He healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, cast out demons, and worked innumerable miracles, and still does the same today. Who is this Son of living God? He is the one who judges, condemns, disarms, defeats, and crushes the head of serpent, rendering Satan powerless. Doing all this on our behalf and shared his triumph with us. This is the Son of Man, a Son of living God. Who is the Son of living God? He is the one who ushered in the kingdom of God on this earth. He's the one who was dead, who is alive, who has the keys of hell and the grave. He is shown to be the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit and being raised from dead. He is the heir of all things and the one who inherit all things. He's the one who has been set above all things for the church with all authority in heaven and earth, and at whose name every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. He has never been a person like, there has never been a person like this one, and there will be never again. He is the Son of the living God. When Peter made this prophetic statement, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for the flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So Jesus continued in this passage and said two "I wills" in this passage. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." He made two statements. "I will" statements. It's very, very specific in the Bible. "I will build my church. I will give you," who? You, us, "the keys of the kingdom of heaven." When Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of living God," Jesus answered and said, "Petros, you are the stone or a small rock, but on this Petra, this massive rock, I will build my church." Who is Petra? Jesus just quoting what Peter is or said a while ago. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. On this massive rock, on this unshakable, immovable truth that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the church is built. Many have tried their best to move this Petra. Many have tried their best. Many try to blow out this church. The Petra still stands. The church still stands. Because it has been built upon this truth, a massive truth, that Jesus is a foundation of this church, a solid foundation. It's not a foundation. A deep-rooted, strong self. Jesus, a foundation. He is the builder of the church. When he is building, no power on this earth has even can come or stand close to this building. Nobody has the power, no power of man, no power on this earth can stop the church being built. He's building, it's continues to be built, and nobody can stop this. So we know we are familiar with this church word in Greek. It says ecclesia, meaning a group of people called out for a purpose. Ecclesia means a group of people called out for a purpose. So we are not called in isolation. We are not called individually. We are called together, meaning we are assembled together. Here we do not forget the purpose we are called for. We are called as one body. We are called as a family. We are called to bring glory to him. So that's when last week testimony was going on, and this picture came into my face, and he said, God can bring people from anywhere. He can displace, misplace, and replace to make sure the church is built. He can take you from this place and he can put you there. And he can, when this your purpose is accomplished, he can pull you out from there and put you in some other place. We have a purpose on this earth, my dear brothers and sisters. The Lord's Prayer had a great impact in my life. While we served, me and my wife and my children served in Saudi Arabia, the Lord's Prayer had a great impact. Thy kingdom comes, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He can call you. He can call you. He can call anybody for his kingdom purpose. Our culture is completely different. Our values are completely different. Our values are not the same as the values of this world. It's completely different. We have been called to take the gospel. We have been called to take the good news of Jesus Christ. We are called to conquer the darkness. We have been taken into the places where there is full of darkness. When the darkness is heavy, the light brings more brightness. We are called to be the salt and light. We are called to influence the kingdom of heaven, and it's powerful. We are not talking about any kingdom. We are talking about kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. So, our testimonies, what we heard last week, or any of your personal testimony, probably I haven't heard of it, but our testimony always bring glory to God. And it shows how we went against the kingdom of darkness and gave full control of our life to God. So in this passage, Jesus continued to tell us he's building the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When Jesus is building this church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, when we read Old Testament, and we know by understanding that when we say the gates, it shows authority. Who has the gates? Owns the property. Owns the place. This is an assignment for you and me to go to the gates of hell. The church has not been affected by the gates of hell. The church is going to the gates. So I'm trying to understand, did we go to the gate today this morning to come to this place, or the gates came to us? Gate is a stationary object or place. We go to the gates. The gates of hell represents the demonic domination. And the church has to advance there. Wherever there's demonic power or dominion, church is going there. We are assembled, ecclesia, we are called out together to go and wage a war against this working of his devil. If there is sickness, go there. If there is suffering, go there. If there is injustice, go there. We are the church called to advance the gates of hell. When we read this word, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, it's an attitude, right? We see a lot of people with attitude. We are Christians. We also have some attitude. We go with an attitude with a clear understanding that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. It cannot overpower you. Jesus Christ has already won the battle. The victory is being declared. We just go and proclaim that victory. Any situation. Why? Why the gates of hell should not prevail? The second, I will give you the keys of heaven. Who has the keys? Who? We. What does key represent? Key represent the authority. I just left my car keys on the table. That means I left my authority there. I have no access to my car. If I have a car, if I have a keys, I can go to the car, open it up, ignite it, and go wherever I can. So the church cannot, or the people of his kingdom cannot cry out and say, Lord, we want to wage a war. Help us. We go. Why? The keys are in our hand. Why the gates of hell shall not prevail against us? Because the gates, the keys of the heaven, the kingdom of heaven is with us. The church is given the keys. And I'm not denying the sovereign nature of God. He can move above and beyond. But all I want to emphasize, the responsibility that we have as the children of God, as a church. We must acknowledge the keys are put in our hand, which means you bind, you loose, you turn the lock, you turn on the lock, you turn off the lock. Wherever the demonic power and dominion is present, there we are advancing towards it and using our keys against it. This is an attitude, isn't it? It's an attitude. The gate shall not prevail. I have the keys. The two big attitudes that we should have as Christians. The gates of hell shall not prevail, and we have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Verse 19 continues with an interesting note. It says, you bind on earth which has been bound in heaven. You loose on the earth what has been loosed in heaven. Meaning, heaven is already announced. The proclamation is already gone. We just have to enforce it in this earth. It's not earth influencing heaven, it's the other way we are bringing heaven on earth. With the keys on our hand, we have authority, we have right, we have ability to advance the kingdom of heaven on this earth. What is your decision today? Whenever you see any situations in your family, when you see the situation in your businesses, when you see the situation in your church, in your community, what is your attitude? How deep is this revelation from God in your life? In any place, if you see the situation is creating confusion, if you see the situation is creating division or strife, we call the name of Jesus. We use the authority. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. If anything which does not bring this righteousness, peace, and joy, it is not the kingdom of God. So wherever it is, I call this morning to all of us to have this attitude of Jesus, knowing, not only attitude, right? You should know why this attitude comes from. Knowing that Jesus Christ is building this church, He will move you, He will displace you, He will replace you, He will take you to the places unknown. All that we need to have is an attitude. Attitude that the gates of hell shall not prevail. And the keys is in our heart. Amen? Amen. Thank you for this time, David. I praise God for this opportunity.
And I like that the authority of the kingdom. We take that authority and we appropriate it and we walk in it. Very, very good word, brother. Thank you for sharing that. That really spoke to my heart. So many times we walk without appropriating the authority that the Lord's given us, not in cockiness, but in confidence that we're in Christ and we can deal with the demonic. And last Sunday, Henry wrote down the names of the churches. I wrote down the names of the people yesterday. There was 26 different people that went out and sowed a seed. I think, did you have Miracle Redemption down there on your, okay, that was another church I was thinking about. But a week ago Sunday, they had the Quran, you know, they had the Muslims there. They're setting up the tent at Shelby Farms and got to talk to the group of young men there and found out they were from Palestine. And I got to share with them about the Cup of Nations soccer tournament that we're having at Bellevue on October the 23rd. Every year we have, well, the last 8 years, 7 years, we've had the international soccer tournament. Started out at Christ Church and then or CBU and then moved to Christ Church. It's at Bellevue. And I gave these young men the registration of how to have Palestine sign up for the Cup of Nations. Well, they signed up this past week, and I went back and talked to them, and one of them had his foot in a cast from kicking a soccer ball, an injury, but he said he was still going to come out. So I had probably over an hour with one guy. Several of us had an hour with this medical doctor, or is in medical school, a Muslim guy that we've turned over to Ronnie Stevens to follow up with. And he you know, he wasn't really one to argue, but he just was trying to pick apart the claims of Christ about creation and the virgin birth and, you know, everything that a lost person would do when they're trying to discredit the gospel. However, the seeds were sown. We need some warriors to show up out there. I know Paul and Sharon have come. Bye, Steve and Penny. Thank y'all so much for being here. Henry's out there. Dave Lawrence. Dave, come up here real quick. I'll get you to close this in prayer. Dave is an attorney. Was at Bellevue for 30 years. He's over at Crossroads. He's recruited two or three fellas from Crossroads from his class. He's 81 years old, and he comes out there in the heat and shares the gospel, and you may even share an encounter before you close in prayer. But the Muslims have an organized group. They set up a tent. They set up a table. They've given out Korans. They're giving out Bibles. And we need to suit up and show up and have a team out there. I mean, we've got a good group of folks, but we need to get a little bit more aggressive. The weather's getting ready to change. The temperature, about a 10-degree temperature difference, is making a big difference. It's very easy to be able to engage somebody with a gospel conversation, with a cold bottle of water, a scripture, a tract, or a Bible. And it's really unbelievable what the Lord's doing out there. I mean, we had three professions of faith, three repenters last Sunday with 26 people, and it was a Labor Day weekend. It was a holiday weekend. You wouldn't think anybody would show up, but please come out on Sunday if you can at 5 o'clock. There's a little Spanish Hispanic church. The Jonathan Calaris is running that and teaching, and Pepper Horn was there last week to teach and did the cards of scripture all the way through the Bible from Adam and Eve all the way through the crucifixion. But Dave Lawrence, come up here and just share briefly what you're doing out there. And he's excited about EE. It doesn't matter if you use three circles, EE, share your testimony, whatever. There's prepared hearts out there every single Sunday. Dave?
We're trying to present the God plan of salvation. And we do it in a lot of different ways. But I've been involved in EE for, I don't know, since 1985 or something like that. And I saw last week, Burden for Two Hearts, we had two people in my group that I was with accept the Lord. And they're really, really diverse people. very diverse. One lady from India, the husband, I was speaking to him, and the Lord was speaking to his wife. You're not doing it. You start the conversation, but the Holy Spirit enters into the picture. So you never win anybody to Christ. So it's not personal, you winning or anything else. The Holy Spirit does it. You know, and you're freed from that. But this young lady, his wife, accepted the Lord. He didn't. But he turned to me and said, speak to her. I don't know. And then we had a person that graduated from journalism. And he was really rather perplexed, I could tell. And he was sitting on a bench. And he accepted the Lord. And when he did, we've got follow-up on both of those. We give them Gideon Bibles, not Gideon symbols on them. I'm former Gideon. And we get them started in the book of John. And the church at the park, we have a lot of Latinos, and they take up, and they've taken people that we have found the Lord and taken them and are discipling them. Discipling is a big deal. It's a big deal. You got a responsibility. You can't win anybody to Christ. If you think you can win somebody to Christ, it's the Holy Spirit. But you got the responsibility of discipling. And I'll leave it there. Lord, I just praise your name. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you gave us. I thank you for your presence in our life. And I ask you, God, to lead us to talk to people and start the conversation about the Lord, the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you to do that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Two quick announcements. Tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. at Holiday Ham, Sheriff Floyd Bonner is going to be speaking. Don Riley, many of you know, Discipling Men Ministry, he is a chaplain for the Shelby County Sheriff's Department, and he's got Floyd Bonner speaking tomorrow at 7 a.m. That's right there at Poplar and near Mendenhall, that Holiday Inn. And then on Thursday, I'm trying to fill a table up at Men of Memphis. Dr. Steve Gaines is starting back this Thursday, table number 7. If you want to grab a seat, I know Fred Tappan comes to that, and we try to have a table from Awaken Air every week. Hopefully, Philip Miss Geek can come and bring. I know your son's coming and everything like that, but Phil, thank you so much for picking up Jonathan every week. Jonathan, thank you for being here. Jonathan helps us out with the Cup of Nations. He's been security. He comes out there and he watches the field, make sure people aren't putting a suicide bomb on the field or something out there. But we got security out there, but we got – Jonathan's our eyes and ears for the Cup of Nations. And so October 23rd, pray about that. It's a great opportunity. We have 16 different nations represented. We have India, China, Pakistan, Palestine, Honduras, Colombia, and it's just phenomenal the response that we have in giving out the gospel. Paul, thank you so much too, brother, for leading worship and coming and just, man, blessing us so well with that. But with that, Clipper, thank you for reminding us about tomorrow. Henry, thank you for letting us meet in the garage here, and it was such a hassle at another Broken Egg to have to set up a sound system, break down a sound system, and be out of there at 7:15, and to be able to just, you know, walk in and have the sound system already set up. It's just such a blessing. Larry, thank you for being here too this morning, brother, and what you're doing. So with that, let me just close us, and we'll dismiss. Father God, we do bless you. We exalt you. We, Father, magnify your name. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us through Brother Wilson. Lord, we thank you for the Father, the scriptures that we can claim, that we can, Father, walk in your authority. We can, Father, be about your business of destroying the adversary through the power of the Holy Spirit and your word. Father, we know that the adversary cannot come against the church. And Father, we pray that, as we know, this is not a come and see gospel, it's a go and tell gospel. So, Father, we pray that you would place on our heart a desire to be about sharing you in gospel conversations as we go through this next week. Lord, we just thank you so much for giving us another day to live for you and to serve you. Father, we thank you that you want to show yourself strong on our behalf. So, Father, we just yield to you today. We surrender to you today. We, Father, just ask that you go before us today. And we thank you so much, Father, for your word, for speaking to us this morning. And as we worshiped you through, Father, incredible worship, Lord, we just want to bless you today. Lord, we do want to tell you that we love you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Good word, Wilson. Good word.